Hi, everybody. This is Dr. Sean Talbot. Thanks a lot for attending, virtually anyway, this lecture that I'm giving for the trail running study that we're doing for the astaxanthin supplementation study. Tonight, I let everybody know that I was going to be talking about what kind of foods to eat during your workouts, the day before your big event, the day of your big event, those sorts of things, you know, what to eat and when. So what I thought I would do is, you know, I did a recent interview with a Canadian natural health and wellness magazine called Alive. I've done many interviews with them in the past about different sport nutrition and health and weight loss topics. And this particular one was about sport nutrition specifically because they're doing a special issue for the Rio 2016 Olympics. And that should probably run next month. So you can see the text of our interview below on this blog, so you can read some of the details, but I'm going to talk people through it and give a little bit more detail. So the main questions that were asked of me were these four questions that you can see below, the first of which is, what foods do you eat leading up to a workout, the day before or the day of? And why do you think these foods help your athletic performance? So, you know, one of the things to think about is one of the most important considerations when you're choosing your nutrition for the day before an event or the day of an event is choose something that you know. Choose something that you've had experience with before. Choose something that you've used in training, that you know how your body's going to respond to it. Do not fall into the trap that a lot of people do, especially newbies, is that they try something new. They hear about a new drink, they hear about a new bar or a new supplement, and they say, wow, that works for, you know, Joe Blow, the cyclist, or it works for a triathlete, or it works for whoever. And I'm going to try it because it's going to increase my performance. Chances are it's going to do just the opposite, because what'll end up happening is that it'll not be, your body won't be used to it. And so you might get gastrointestinal effects. It might give you a headache. It might do all kinds of different things that are not going to be good for your body, because it's going to be different. It's not that it's a bad food necessarily or a bad supplement. You just are not accustomed to it and you don't know how it's going to affect you. So don't risk it. You always have to use something that you've used before. So, you know, in that regard, I've used the same regimen for the day before and the day of for nearly 30 years. You know, I started doing this back in the day when I was an elite rower in college and on the national team. Then I used the same regimen when I transitioned to being a professional triathlete. And now, as just a middle-of-the-pack schlub when I do my trail running, I do the same thing because I know that it agrees with my body. And, you know, what does that look like? The day before, and the day of, I've been doing the same thing. So you can see that my breakfast is 2 packs of instant oatmeal. It doesn't matter the brand, you know, you can use Quaker, you can use Nature Valley, you can use, you know, whatever one tastes good to you. But I put a scoop of vanilla whey protein powder in it, and I'll put that in before I mix up the oatmeal. So basically, you put in a pack of oatmeal, open up the packet, put it in there, put a scoop of vanilla protein powder in, put the other pack on there, stir it around so it's all mixed up, and then put your hot water on it. But I also add a handful of fruit, if that's dried fruit that I have access to, or it's frozen berries, or if it's fresh, that's even better, and a splash of half and half. On the day before my events, I will avoid coffee. I'm a typical coffee drinker. I drink a lot of coffee. In fact, I've got a cup of coffee sitting next to me, next to the computer right now. But I avoid it the day before an event, because what I want to do is sort of de-tolerate myself from that caffeine so that when I use it on race morning, I can get that boost of caffeine. And I'll talk a little bit more about that in a little bit. So oatmeal for breakfast, it's been working for me for a long time. And oatmeal is typically, the reason I add the whey protein powder is that oatmeal is typically, you know, it's high in carbohydrates and high in fiber, which is why I'm choosing it, but it's not very high in protein. So you use the protein to add a little, you know, 20 grams or so of additional protein there. For lunch, it's something very simple. Turkey sandwich or a roast beef sandwich. I use some mustard. I avoid mayonnaise and really high fat foods on the day before a race. I put on lots of vegetables, so tomatoes, pickles, lettuce, other vegetables if you have access to them. You know, you can get this while you're traveling for an event pretty easily. And then dinner for me, this is a little bit of science and a little bit of superstition here. I always try to get the day before, the night before, sort of my last supper before a big event is pasta with fish. I try to avoid shellfish like clams and mussels and things like that because they have a high risk for food poisoning, foodborne illness. But the science of that is that you're looking for high carbohydrates and a good amount of protein and fat. So if you have pasta with salmon, you're getting good healthy fats there. You're getting a good amount of protein from the fish. You're getting a good amount of carbohydrates from the pasta. You probably want to choose a sauce that is more of a tomato-based kind of a sauce, not so much a pesto, definitely not an Alfredo because it's going to be too much fat and too much of a lipid load for you. But the superstition here is that many, many years ago, maybe 20 or so years ago, I had a seafood pasta, lots of fish, no shellfish, right before a big race in Florida. And the next day I ended up qualifying for the world championships in the half marathon distance for triathlon. So I had one of those racier life kinds of performances, and I chalked it up to the fact that I had eaten fish pasta the night before. So I stick with that. It works for me. It's scientifically sound, but it also helps with my superstition. So I'll combine that with a green salad with some vinaigrette dressing, not the blue cheese, not the ranch, not the sort of creamy dressings. Again, you want to avoid that sort of high fat load. And then, you know, I take it with a lot of water, a glass or two, a large glasses of water, and a glass of red wine. You know, so that's something that I'll typically have at dinner anyway. So this isn't out of the ordinary. And it's something where you're not going to have a lot of wine because you don't want to be hungover the next day, but a little bit to sort of take the edge off the tension that you're going to have the night before a race and help you sleep. So that's what my dinner looks like. The day of the race, this is critically important for people. You're coming right back to the sameness kind of thing. Use something that you know is going to agree with your body. So I'm eating the same oatmeal meal that I had on the day before, exact same one that I just described. I'm also having that with coffee. So I'll have a cup or two of coffee, get the gastrointestinal system going. You know, that's an important thing to do before you head to the race start. I take one cream, one sugar, and then I sip on water before the event starts. So that's not a lot of food for a lot of people who look at that. You know, if you're starting out, you know, a trail run, if you're starting out a bike race, you're starting out a triathlon, some people really gorge themselves. And that can come back to bite them later on when their stomach isn't feeling so good halfway through the event. So that'll be my breakfast, and I'll take it, this is important, I'll take it 2 hours before the event starts. And I'll explain a little bit more about this in the next question below, but that 2 hour time period is really important. So you're able to digest the food adequately, but it's not causing any real rises and spikes and falls in your blood sugar, which I'll get into in a little bit. On that same day, you want to be aware that you're going to want to have something after the event. So after the event, you know, one of the best recovery beverages or recovery snacks is chocolate milk, right? So, you know, chocolate milk's been compared to all of the different post-exercise recovery beverages out there that are different combinations of protein and carbohydrates and different flavors and things like that. Chocolate milk is as good as anything that's out there after your hard workouts, after your hard events. So, you know, chocolate milk sometimes is not easy to get when you're away at an event. If you finish your workout and you're at home, you can reach into your refrigerator and get some milk and mix it up with some chocolate powder or chocolate sauce, and you're very good in your own kitchen. But when you're away, sometimes you want something that's very portable. So my sort of portable go-to snack is a Snickers bar, which people are sometimes surprised with. They're like, "Why are you eating a candy bar after you just did this healthy workout?" But I'll explain a little bit about why that is good, along with a large bottle of water, in just a little bit. You know, the sort of short version is that it's a nice combination of the carbohydrates that you're really looking for, along with a little bit of fat and a little bit of protein. So that's really important to understand. So, you know, another thing that these food selections have in common is the fact that they're very portable. You know, so a lot of times these events that we're doing, we're away from home. You know, we might be traveling in a different state or even a different country, and you have to select foods that are easily available at a typical restaurant, that are easily prepared. A lot of times you're in a hotel room and you're sometimes lucky to have a microwave there so you can make your coffee, you can make your oatmeal. And you're really looking for what all of these share in terms of a macronutrient blend are the fact that they're high in carbohydrates, which is the primary source of energy for high intensity exercise, but then they're balanced with a little bit of protein, a little bit of fat, and a little bit of fiber, which you need all of that in a matrix or in a blend so that you have good digestion, good absorption, and importantly, good elimination. You don't want to have all that great food on board and sitting in your colon because that's going to weigh you down while you're doing your workouts or while you're competing in your race. So here's another very important question that people ask me a lot. It was asked of me in this interview. Do you eat a snack right before your workout? And if so, what is it and why do you do that? And this is a very, very individualized thing. There's some science behind having a snack, yes, and there's some science behind having a snack, no, avoiding eating. And we can get into that in another lecture where we'll talk about metabolic efficiency and the wisdom of eating when you're working out versus starving yourself while you're working out. There's actually a reason to do a little bit of both depending on the workout, depending on your objectives. And we'll get into that in a different seminar. But this one, eating a snack right before your workout or not, is a very, very individual kind of a decision. Some athletes need to eat a pre-workout snack because they don't feel like they're going to have the energy on board to complete that workout, whereas other athletes cannot eat anything before a workout because they're going to have some gastrointestinal issues. There'll also be a little bit of a decision based on what kind of a workout is it. So when you go out, to use myself as a personal example, when I go out for a hard run, I will not eat anything before that because of gastrointestinal issues. I'll feel like I'm full and I will feel like I can't go as hard as I want to as I can on an empty or an empty-ish stomach. Whereas if I'm going out for a bike ride, I might eat a big meal right before I hop on the bike if I'm going to be on the bike for a long period of time because I'm not getting the same sort of, you know, jarring of my GI tract when I'm on the bike. It's a little bit smoother sort of an experience. So that is a very individualized thing. I won't eat before I run. I will eat before I ride. But that's something you have to kind of experiment with to see what works best for you. If you are going to have that pre-workout snack or that pre-race snack, though, there's a really, really important consideration, and that's the timing window. You want to make sure that you eat that snack either 15 minutes before you start exercising or 90 minutes before you start exercising, but not within that window, right? Within that window, you're in a danger zone. That 15 to 90 minute window is when you should not eat anything. And the reason there is because of blood sugar dynamics. If you eat something, let's say you eat it 30 minutes or 60 minutes before your workout or before your event, which a lot of people do. I'll see people sometimes getting ready to go to the start line of an event, and it's 30 to 60 minutes before the gun's going to go off, and they're downing a gel or they're eating a bar. And I'm just thinking to myself, oh boy, that person's going to have a bad day. Because what's going to happen to that person, they're thinking to themselves, it makes logical sense, let me just top off my energy stores. The gun's going to go off in 30 minutes or 45 minutes or 90 minutes. I'm going to have a little bit of energy right now. It's going to top me off and I'm going to have a great race. What actually happens is that carbohydrate bar or gel or drink gets into your stomach, it gets into your small intestine, it starts to be digested and absorbed. So now you're getting blood sugar rising within that 30 to 60 minute window. And when that happens, your blood sugar starts going up. You haven't started exercising yet, so your body starts producing a lot of insulin to take that blood sugar out of the bloodstream and pack it away into the muscle cells. Once you start exercising, that contractile function, that, you know, the fact that your muscles are contracting is now going to accelerate that process, that drive of blood sugar going from the bloodstream into the muscles, and your blood sugar levels crash. I see it happen all the time. You're 15 or 30 minutes into your workout, and now, boom, you hit a wall because your blood sugar levels have crashed. And it's because you ate that carbohydrate at the wrong time. If you ate it 15 minutes before you started exercising, you haven't started that digestive process yet, so you're in a clear zone. If you've eaten 90 minutes or later before you start exercising, you're outside of that danger zone. It's that critical danger zone in between, that sort of 30 to 60 minute window that you want to avoid. So avoid that if you can. If you are going to eat something, what do you choose, right? If I'm going to go hop on my bicycle this afternoon and I'm going to eat something right before I go out, I might eat a turkey sandwich. I might eat some French toast for breakfast. I might eat my oatmeal that I explained before. But that's something that I'm going to be eating 90 minutes or so before. It's something that if I'm on the bike, I could eat right away. If you're going to eat something right before your workout, think of it as something that is easily digestible. Think of it as something that's your body's going to tolerate. If you're going to eat during the workout, one reason you might want to do that is to train your gut to withstand food or to tolerate food better. So let's say you're training for a marathon or an ultra marathon or a very, very long distance bike ride, like a Lotaja or something like that. Or perhaps you're training for a half Ironman or an Ironman. Those are all events where you're going to have to take fuel on board at some point during the event. Your gut is a muscle. It's a 21 foot long muscle. And so you need to train it to work appropriately while it has food on board. So that can be the one really strong justification for not eating before you go on the bike or not eating before you go for your long run, and instead taking in those calories during your workout to actually train the gut to tolerate the food so that it can still function while you're exercising. That's something that can really be the downfall for people in these longer distance events, is that they've never trained eating during an event, and then during your run, you start taking some gels. During your bike ride, you start eating some bars, and you just get this gastrointestinal distress that just completely ruins your day. So as I mentioned before, we're going to come back to that at a different lecture and really talk about the strategy around that. So, all right, third question. What do you drink before, during, and after your workouts, and how does that help your athletic performance? So, you know, I'm mostly a water guy when I'm running. I'm mostly a water guy when I'm on the bike, unless it's one of those really, really long workouts. But if you're going to choose one of those sorts of drinks, you know, an electrolyte beverage, if it's really hot out, here we are in Utah right now. Yesterday was 100 degrees here in the valley. It was a little bit cooler up near the ski resorts. I went for a nice run with the cross country team up at Alta. It was about 20 degrees cooler up there, but it was still pretty warm. So, you know, if you're gonna go for something other than water, what you might want to choose is any of the electrolyte drinks. There's sort of a rule of thumb here. People ask me very often about, is Gatorade really any good? Is this particular drink better than Gatorade? The general rule of thumb is that they're all about the same and they're all better than water, right? So if you're going out for an hour or less, you can get by with water. If you're going out for longer than that, and electrolytes and sweating and hydration is really going to be an issue for you, a two-hour run, a three-hour bike ride, then you are going to be looking to those electrolyte drinks. They'll have a little bit of sugar, but that's not really your carbohydrate source for energy. That little bit of sugar is going to help the water absorption. It's going to help the electrolyte absorption. And the electrolytes will help replace those, you know, the sodium, the potassium, the magnesium, the calcium, that are all going to be lost in your sweat. If you've ever finished a long workout and you've got those salt streaks on your face and along the lines of your hat or your helmet or your shirt or something like that, that's the salt. That's the electrolytes that you've lost in your sweat. And so something like a Gatorade or a Cytomax or a Scratch, those are going to replace those electrolytes, help you perform better, help you avoid muscle cramps, that sort of stuff. But they're all the same. They're all better than water for those long workouts, but they're all pretty much equivalent to each other. So what I'll generally tell people is choose one that tastes good to you. You know, I am lucky. I like the taste of all of these, so I use them pretty interchangeably. Just throw one in my water bottle as I'm going out the door. So what do you eat? The fourth question here, what do you eat after exercise for recovery? So I mentioned this a little bit before, but I'm going to go into the details a little bit now. My go-to after a long workout or after an event is chocolate milk. And sometimes I'll go for sweetened cereal with milk. Sometimes I'll go for sweetened yogurt with granola. And each of these I like because it tastes good after a hard workout. You want something that's cool and creamy and sweet, and all of those share that as an attribute. But each of these also provides a really good balance of fast carbohydrates and slow carbohydrates, along with fast proteins and slow proteins, and they all have a little bit of fat. And I mentioned before that it's that matrix of macronutrients that's really important for proper digestion and proper absorption and proper elimination. So what do I mean by all of that? The fast sugars are those simple sugars that are going to be digested quickly, absorbed quickly, and can start replenishing that muscle glycogen very fast after your workouts. So those are the sugars like sucrose, table sugar, glucose, fructose. So glucose plus fructose is sucrose. And in all of these foods, chocolate milk, cereal with milk, yogurt with granola, you're going to get a blend of sucrose, glucose, fructose. The slow sugars, things like maltodextrin, maltose, lactose, the things that you're going to find in milk, the things that you're going to find in maltodextrin, which is a key carbohydrate in some of these post-recovery beverages. It's a complex corn sugar. Those are going to be digested and absorbed slower. So what you're getting here is kind of a 1-2 punch. You're getting the fast sugars, they're going to quickly start replacing that muscle glycogen and liver glycogen. And you have these slower sugars that are going to continue that process over the course of the fast sugars being minutes, the slower sugars being, you know, tens of minutes to potentially half an hour or an hour. And that's going to be important to fully restock your glycogen stores over the course of that post-exercise recovery period, which could last, depending on the workout, depending on the duration, depending on the intensity, could last 60, 90, 120 minutes. So you want to be able to keep those blood sugar levels balanced over time to improve that glycogen storage, improve the dissipation of stress hormones like cortisol, and then having a little bit of the protein there is going to actually help repair some of the tissue damage in your muscles, in your tendons, in your ligaments, which are going to need to be repaired over the next several hours and days, again, depending on the duration and the intensity of your workout. So what do those proteins look like? You're getting fast proteins like whey and slow proteins like casein. So those two proteins, whey and casein, are the two primary proteins in dairy. That's why I'm recommending chocolate milk and cereal with milk and yogurt, because you're getting that dairy protein, which is very, very beneficial for the protein recovery and the soft tissue recovery after your exercise. It's also going to help with your appetite, so you're not binging on junk later on. It's going to help with your fat burning. It's going to help with all sorts of things that are kind of peripherally related to your performance. So when I'm away at a race and I'm not going to be able to finish the race in New York or wherever I am and then pour myself a bowl of cereal mix up a chocolate milk, this is where, you know, I'll go back to my Snickers bar that I mentioned before. This is something I'll have stashed in my gear bag and I can just grab and enjoy after I've killed myself in a long workout or an intense competition. It has about 250 calories. It's a big dose of carbohydrates, 33 grams of carbohydrates, which is really what you're looking for after an event like that. But it's balanced with some protein. It's balanced with some fat. This is coming from the peanuts. So you're getting a blend there that isn't just a candy bar, that isn't just a dose of carbohydrates, right? Sometimes we want that dose of just carbohydrates, but this is something where it's a little bit more well-balanced and it's going to be a little more appropriate for the healthy lifestyles that we're all trying to lead. So that's that. And then the final question in this interview was, do you take any supplements to boost your energy either before a workout or after a workout? And if so, what are they and why do you like them? I am an advocate of lots and lots of different kinds of supplements, as long as there's research to support their use. So the ones that I recommended here are perfectly dialed in for the kind of endurance work that we're doing in this trail running study, but also in if you're a runner, if you're a cyclist, if you're a triathlete, if you're a swimmer, if you're doing anything endurance based or really anything performance based, these supplements are going to be very beneficial. So here are the four that I recommended. The first one is New Zealand pine bark extract. This one, it really is kind of my secret weapon because it helps with several aspects of performance. It helps on the physical performance side with getting your muscles to work better. It helps on the mental performance side, helping your brain to work better. And sometimes people forget that the brain is really a very important part of our overall performance, whether we're talking athletic performance or we're talking day-to-day performance in your job and in your family and in your life. What happens with New Zealand pine bark extract is that you're getting a huge dose of these very specialized nutrients, these polyphenols called OPCs, which stands for oligomeric proanthocyanins. Now, these are compounds that can help to open up blood vessels so you get better blood flow. You get better blood flow to the brain so you're more focused and alert. You get better blood flow to the muscles. You can literally feel sort of an opening up effect in your lungs and in your working muscles so that you can exercise harder, either at a higher intensity or for a longer duration. So you feel a lot better when you're using New Zealand pine bark extract. You feel motivated, you feel focused, you feel like you're ready to move and be active and be engaged. So the research on New Zealand pine bark and OPCs in general show that they can lower stress hormones like cortisol control. They can improve neurotransmitter balance. They've actually been studied in New Zealand for their effects on mental focus and ADD. You can focus better. You can remember better. You can recall things better. And you also get a much better effect on overall focus during a high stress environment. So that could be taking a test. It could be hitting a work deadline, or like us, it could be the stress, physiological and psychological, of competing, doing our workouts and competing against our age group competitors and trying to get to the finish line in the fastest amount of time. So that's what those are some of the reasons that New Zealand pine bark extract is really one of my secret weapons. Astaxanthin. This is the carotenoid that we're supplementing with in this trail running study. This is, you've all heard me talk about this in the last seminar and in some of the questions that have been asked during this study. It's an antioxidant, which is great. It's going to protect us from ultraviolet light. It's going to protect us from the free radicals that we're generating during exercise. But probably its most important effect is that it can help with mitochondrial function. The mitochondria are the little organelles inside of our cells that generate energy. And so by protecting the mitochondria and improving their efficiency, that the astaxanthin can really help us to be better at producing energy, at converting our food that we just talked about into energy, into ATP for our contracting muscles. So our mitochondria levels go down as we age. And so if we can protect them, if we can make them more efficient, we're going to be better at generating that energy. We're going to be better at burning fat. We're going to be better at, you know, there's a cognitive benefit here because we have mitochondria in our brain cells. But what we're really looking for here is the mitochondria in our muscle cells so we can generate that good, clean energy to power us down the trail. So astaxanthin is one of those supplements that I recommend. Quercetin is another one. So this is a different kind of flavonoid. Flavonoids or polyphenols similar to those OPCs that you see in New Zealand pine bark extract, but quercetin works through some different mechanisms compared to the OPCs. So the reason that I like quercetin is that it's very good at having that blood flow improvement, and it's also very good at increasing norepinephrine levels. So here we're getting a peripheral performance benefit with better blood flow, peripheral meaning our muscles, and we're also getting a central neurological benefit in our brains where those norepinephrine levels are going to help us feel more energetic. So we get a whole body energy benefit here. And you can see a common theme that we want good blood flow, we want good energy balance with our protecting our mitochondria. We want our muscles to work well. We want our brains to work well. We're getting the whole package there with this combination of flavonoids from quercetin and OPCs and carotenoids in the form of astaxanthin. And then the last ingredient that I recommend, the last supplement, is a compound called theanine. This is an amino acid that is found in green tea leaves. And one of the very unique aspects of theanine is that it can act as a non-sedating relaxant, right? This is something that's going to increase your brain's production of alpha waves. Alpha waves are the kind of brain waves that we produce when we're in the zone, when we're at our highest level of physical and mental performance, we have lots and lots of alpha waves. When we're stressed and we're anxious and we're irritable and we're not feeling our best, we have a lot of beta waves. And so theanine can take us away from those beta waves towards those alpha waves without making us feel drowsy. In fact, theanine is something that I recommend for athletes who do get very stressed out and very tense and very almost paralyzed by the stress of competition. If you get really nervous before a race, theanine is a wonderful way to sort of de-stress yourself, take that edge off, and get you right into that zone where from a mental perspective, now you're ready to go and you can perform at the level that you want to. And now we're taking quercetin and astaxanthin and the OPCs and pine bark extract, and we're getting that physical and mental performance enhancement, if you will, because now we're in that cognitive zone, so you're not psyched out. So those are the ones that I recommend. If you go to the shelf at a GNC or a vitamin shop, or you go online to Amazon or Vitacost or one of those places, and you look to buy one of these supplements, you can pretty much buy quercetin from anybody. You know, if you buy it from GNC as just quercetin, or you buy it from Vitacost or Vitamin Shop or any of those sort of generic vitamin sellers, you can just buy quercetin from them, and you're going to get a pretty good quality because it's a very well known kind of commodity, but it's a very effective commodity. You can buy that from anybody, and you know, look, shop on price for that sort of a thing. For the other ones, unfortunately or fortunately, these are companies that do a lot of research on their specific extract, and so because they do the research, and because I know that the research supports the effects that I've just outlined, I really like to encourage people to buy the brand names of those particular ingredients. So if you're looking for New Zealand pine bark extract, you want to look for a specific brand called Enzogenol. That's the one in New Zealand that has done all the research on ADD and mental function and cognitive function. So look for that Enzogenol. When you're looking for astaxanthin, you want to look for the brand called Astaxine. That's the natural form of algae-derived astaxanthin that we're studying in this research trial, but it's also the one where the research supports the benefits that I've just described to you. And then when you're looking for theanine, there's actually a lot of junky sort of not pure theanine on the market, and you want to get the one where all the research has been done and is the most pure, and that's a brand called Sun Theanine. So look for those brands so that you know that you're getting exactly what you think you're getting. You're getting purity, you're getting the right potency, and you're getting the efficacy that you're hoping for, for the effect of improving cognitive performance and also improving physical performance, mental and physical performance at the same time. If we get that, if we're eating the right fuels, if we're timing them at the right space before, during, and after our workouts, and if we're supplementing appropriately, that's where we're going to get the overall improvement in our mental and physical performance that we're all looking for. And that's going to carry over from just our workouts to our competitions, to our overall lives. And we're gonna feel good, we're gonna look good, we're gonna perform good. And that's what we're all looking for, I think. So with that, I'm gonna shut it down. Feel free to email me any of your questions, as a lot of people have been doing. People are doing great. Next week, we're gonna be in for some follow-up interim measurements. We're gonna do VO2 max again. We're gonna do power outputs again. We're gonna get our body composition tested again. We're a little more than halfway through here, and looks like everyone's doing great. So appreciate you listening, and let me know any questions that you have. Bye-bye.